tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, I hope wherever in the world you are watching from, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you and your family in the best of health and iman. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, today I'm in the company of our esteemed colleague Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah, and our today's subject of discussion is friend to the end. Yes, which is that friend that will be with you right till the end, even beyond this life. Inshallah, shortly you will find out. Before that, let's recite salawat in the praise of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. Without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Allah's final prophet, our master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has stated that the example of you, your family, wealth and actions is like that of a person who has three dear friends. As he nears death, he calls his three friends and says to one of them, "You can see the condition I'm in. Tell me, what can you do for me?" And he replies, "For now, I can look after and stay with you to ensure that you get what you need. And when you die, I can bathe and shroud you, then carry your funeral janazah, sometimes shouldering it myself, and others will carry you at times. I shall only speak good in your regard upon my return whenever anybody asks of you." This friend is that person's family. He then asks his second friend, "You too can see what condition I'm in. What can you do for me?" And he responds that, "I shall be there as long as you live. But as soon as you die, our paths will separate. As you shall go to the grave whilst I stay behind in the world, this friend is that person's wealth." And the person proceeds to ask his third friend, "I'm sure you too can see my condition. You've heard that my family and wealth, what they just said. Tell me, what can you do for me?" Consoling the person, he replies, "My friend, I shall accompany you in your grave and save you from terror. When the day of accountability arrives, I shall sit in your scales and make them weighty. This friend is that person's actions." Subhanallah. The companions exclaimed, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is an excellent friend." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Yes, it's true." Subhanallah. So we, as those who love Allah and the beloved Habib Azza wa Jal wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are our three friends. We usually worry about these three things most in the world. In particular, we mostly think of our wealth and family. Sometimes we were earning that wealth for the family and even fall into sin due to this. Yes. When this happens, the distinction between halal and haram is done away with. As soon as we open our eyes, our only concern is making money. Allahu Akbar. As it was foretold and prophesized by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there will come a time upon my ummah, upon people, that they will not care, you know, whether they are earning their livelihood from halal sources or haram sources.
Allah,
Allah, Allah. This is the summary of the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us about this mishap that will happen. And today we see it with our own eyes happening around us. Chasing money all day and night. Eventually, you know, it sets in and becomes a lifestyle. Day and night, morning and evening, eventually our entire lives are spent thinking and chasing after the money, food, cars, houses, and latest luxuries of the world, gadgets and so on. We only worry about where these will come from, you know, where the wealth will come from, where the house will come from, where the latest car will come from, where all the money will come from. And we should remember at all times that death will come very soon, whether you wish for it or don't wish for it. This is an uninvited guest. This world is temporary, and our money and everything we worked hard for, this will be left here. Mm-hmm. We will only take our deeds with us to our graves.
Allah.
Allah. Wasab, I met a person who had some disputes with people he used to live with.
Right.
And they were all, you know, taunting him about money. Everything was about money, money, money. Even the whole entire family, all about money.
Mm-hmm.
But this person said to his relative, was of elderly age, "You are always saying money, money, money. When you pass away, I'm going to put money in your mouth.
Allah.
You'll have your wish. But that money will never help anyone. It's only to help us while we are surviving in this world. It will never help the person after they die."
Allahu Akbar.
And this is just something that he made reference of and said it. And it makes so much of sense that we should be taking advice from this, that, you know, all this chase and hustle and bustle of the world, you know, breaking hearts, severing family ties, and what people don't do for money. All of this is for that money, which won't even be with us.
Most of like how people go all out to get money, etc., or all out to open up a business, or whatever the case may be. Like that, from this narration and this blessed hadith sharif that you've mentioned, that there are three friends: family, wealth, and our good deeds. So we should, you know, if we know that our family, we're going to leave them behind, we're going to leave our wealth behind, so why don't we make our mindset in this way, that we go all out doing good deeds?
Yes.
You know, because, for example, if you have to look at some of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them were millionaires, some of them had so much of money, like the likes of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had so much of money, but yet his heart was not attached to that.
Yes.
His focus was not there. His heart was attached to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His focus was on the hereafter.
Yes.
So like that, even if someone is earning money or someone is opening up a business, still the focus and the attachment shouldn't be there. The reliance shouldn't be on that. The reliance should be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our trust has to be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to think, what do we want? That this is our only one true friend that will take us even after we die. And that is our good deeds. We all, you know, we all want that that type of company of friends, which is good, which is positive. You know, which makes the group a good atmosphere. So, like that, these three friends that are with a person, family, wealth, and good deeds. From these three, the wisest choice to make is to take our good deeds as our friend. And when we do that, then we would have this passion, not for any hidden agenda, or not for anybody else that, okay, I'm giving charity today because I want my brother to see it. No. If it's like that, then of course, we don't know the intention of any person, but the intention must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that will be fruitful.
Yes.
So we are in this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us on how to live in this world, because Islam is such a beautiful deen, that Islam is a code of life. Islam is a way of life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us and taught us how to live in this world, how to be in this world, that we are in this dunya, we should not be getting our hearts attached to this dunya. Because what happens is that when a person gets attached too much to this dunya and too much in this world, then they would be engrossed in accumulating money, in making more money. Even if they have one source of income coming in, they would get another source, no problem. But then what happens is, if a person does not have taqwa, then from one source it will go to three, from three to four, from four to five. Like that, it will carry on, because man always wants more and more and more. Greed is something that is in a man, that is in a person. It's up to a person how to control that. Now imagine with all of this, right? If a person had this in mind, that, you know what, whatever I have in my life, I'm content with that. Yes. I have one source of income, I want to get another source of income. No problem. As long as the attachment is not there. And together with that, you can make so much of good intentions. If Allah Ta'ala blessed a person with so much of money, imagine what they could do with that money. They can strengthen Islam. Definitely. They can help another fellow Muslim. But the focal point here is that our attachment must not be with this world. If a person's attachment is towards this dunya, is towards this world, then it will be difficult for a person to do good deeds. And when that happens, then how would a person gain this passion in them that, you know what, today I want to give a sadaqah, today I want to recite at least one page of the Holy Quran, today I want to recite at least 313 times salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person's heart is attached to this dunya, all of these good deeds would seem difficult for that person, because that person is occupied in his worldly matters. That person is occupied, you know, in going here, going there, making sure his family is okay, making sure he's getting enough wealth, because these also distract a person from the real purpose, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ourselves first need to put that priority right, and then together with that, implement it and teach it to our family members as well, so that they can also act upon it and get this awareness not to have attachment to this dunya. Because a person who is only worried about his worldly affairs, then that person, he is ruining his year after.
Allah.
And a person who worries and is concerned about his hereafter, then Allah Ta'ala eases his worldly affairs for him. So this is what we need to prioritize and get right, that we need to not worry about this dunya so much. Just like how we worry that I need to sort this out, I need to get that much money. Like that, we need to worry how many pages of the Quran have I recited. Like that, we need to worry, have I performed my 5-day salah today? Like that, we need to worry, have I done this good deed? Have I done that good deed? Have I hurt someone? All of these we need to take into consideration. And once that is there, inshallah, it will gain us this passion to perform more and more good deeds. Because good deeds, it draws and attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why not attract it? And that is by doing good deeds. So this is what we need to do, and leave the other two friends one side and stick to this one friend only, because this one friend will help us in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter as well.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, subhanallah, Sayyidi. And together with this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what you have mentioned, it is so true. These are the key lessons that we can derive.
Definitely.
From this beautiful hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same money which cannot help us after we depart from this world. Basically, in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I shall be here." The wealth says to the person, "I shall be here as long as you live, but as soon as you die, our paths will separate. As you shall go to the grave, whilst I stay behind in the world."
Allahu Akbar.
This is the reality. The purchasing power. Why do we need money? Why do we want money? because it gives us purchasing power.
Right.
And using the same money, it is also possible to work for our hereafter, using the same money. We cannot use the money to work for our hereafter once we die.
Right.
Because the money is there, we lose the purchasing power.
Yes, subhanallah.
You can't go after you die, you can't go somewhere and buy something with that money. Right? Because you lost the purchasing power. The air is there, the oxygen is there, but you lose your air time. You have taken the breath, as many breaths as it was in your destiny. The oxygen is still there, but you ran out of your air time. Allahu Akbar. So this is the reality. Your wealth is the one you send forth in the path of Allah. You donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give in the path of Allah. And the one you are saving, you are hoarding, that is the wealth after you die, your heirs will possess it. That's not your wealth. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
And everyone thinks it's their wealth.
Yes. And this is so full of wisdom. And it comes together, alhamdulillah. So neither the family members, yes, they are supportive of us for as long as we live. But after we pass away, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
Their friendship will end there. And the only friend we'll have till the end, beyond the hereafter, the judgment, resurrection, judgment, mizan, when the scale will be set up. And the deeds will be weighed. The same actions and the deeds that we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for us, helping us even then. Whereas our own families, even mother and father, parents, they will fail to recognize their own children. As Sayyidi Ala rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali says, that baap jahan bete se bhaage, aa karke bulate ye hain. माँ जब इकलौते को छोड़े लुत्फ वहां फरमाते ही सुभान अल्लाह एट दैट टाइम आवर डीड्स विल बी आवर बेस्ट फ्रेंड्स एंड ऑफ कोर्स वी विल हैव द शफात ऑफ द बिलवड मुस्तफा सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम टू कंसोल आवर टेरिबल स्टेट इंशाल्लाह अज़्ज़ व जल इफ वी दैट इज ओनली इफ वी हैव डन दोस एक्शंस
डेफिनेटली
Our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not restricted just to mere lip service. But while moving our lips, claiming that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have recited Durood upon him with the same lips. And we traveled to Medina Munawwara while having the ability, while we are making Umrah, while we are going for Hajj, we don't forget to make the ziyarat of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all these things taken into account. Fulfilling the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is also another thing.
Yeah.
Subhanallah, there are many rights that the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over us as his ummah. And here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us, subhanallah, a simple principle of salvation. In many ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the principles of salvation. In some ahadith, he encourages us to pray our salah. In some ahadith, he encourages us to keep fast. That is our salvation. In some ahadith, he has given us the foundation of Islam is laid upon five things, subhanallah. The iman, first of all, shahada of there is none worthy of Allah. And Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. Then establishing salah, thereafter paying zakat, then making hajj of Baytullah Sharif and keeping the fast of the month of Ramadan. And many other principles such as these Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us to abide by them, and then the Jannah is ours. SubhanAllah. Sayyidi Ala therefore says, Wo to nihayat sasta sauda bech rahe hai jannat ka. That he is selling such a cheap deal, such an affordable deal for entry into paradise. To earn the membership of paradise, subhanAllah. Who gives us that purchasing power? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He empowers us to do the actions in the world. So tomorrow we can be admitted into Jannah. Small price to pay. SubhanAllah. And he doesn't ask for much. He says, do simple things, X, Y, and Z. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you'll be admitted into paradise.
A simple and easy deed like sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? I mean, how long will it take for a person to send salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam even 10 times a day? It wouldn't take that long. It will just take a few seconds perhaps to send salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam 10 times consistently on a daily basis, not like, you know, sending one day, then the other day no, next day no, then weeks will go nothing. No, we shouldn't be like that. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, that the best deed is that which is small, but it's done consistently. And that is what we need to do. That, you know, sometimes a person may get up one morning and feel all uplifted, feel all energized and say, today I'm going to recite half of the Quran. And then you start from the morning, Fajr after Fajr, he's reciting. Okay, maybe, perhaps he could even complete reciting 15 yes. parts of the Holy Quran. It's possible. But then this next day will come, then he's not reciting. The day after will come, he's not reciting. And eventually the person, it depends, the person may not reciting the Quran, or he may end up reciting the Quran after a very long time. Mm-hmm. Now imagine one day, half of the Quran he recited and the rest of the day is nothing. Then now, to what benefit or to what point is that? That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us and taught us that do a deed, but make sure that it's on a daily basis. Make sure that it's consistent. Don't do something today and then tomorrow you're not doing it, the next day you're not doing it. No, then it doesn't make sense. You know, so when it comes to good deeds, of course, the first aspect that matters most is one's intention. Yes. Because without the intention, the deed doesn't mean anything.
Yes,
the deed is pointless. So the first aspect a person must consider is, what is my intention for reciting Quran today? If my intention is, you know, to show my teacher that I am doing it, or to show another person that, look, I am reading the Holy Quran and they must consider me pious, etc., 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 then that will be pointless. So the intention is very important. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that the intention of a believer is better than his actions. So whenever anyone is doing any good deed, should just pause for a moment, you know, just ponder for a moment and think to themselves, why am I doing this good deed? And then make many, many intentions for doing that good deed. For example, smiling. Smiling is sunnah. If someone smiles just like that, there would no intention, there wouldn't be any reward. But if the intention is there that I am smiling to make my fellow Muslim happy, now there's reward in that.
Subhanallah.
Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that after all of the fara'id acts, the greatest act after that is to make the heart of a fellow Muslim happy. Now imagine through one simple deed such as smiling, and you made it with you smile with this intention to make another fellow Muslim happy. That's one. Another one, also smiling is a form of charity. Smiling is sadaqah. This intention can also be made. So many intentions can be made in our day-to-day life only if we're not hasty, only if we do not rush and just pause for a moment, just ponder and reflect. We need to calm our mind, because with the busy rush, sometimes we just do something and we lose the reward of that. Whereas on the other hand, the same act, we could have made an intention and gotten so much of reward from it. So intention is the base of all of our actions. And then the other part of it that we can also do is repentance. And repentance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the one who repents is like the one who has not sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, on a daily basis, make istighfar. I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day would make istighfar. And he is Imamul Anbiya. He is the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who are we? We are nothing. That is why we have to make sincere repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many, you know, people go through various forms of difficulties, hardships, and financial strains, etc., etc., family issues as well. And we see that there has been incidents in the past where through making istighfar, through repenting, their whole lives have changed for the better. Mm-hmm. Difficulties have been removed. Why? Because of repenting. I mean, how? It doesn't take long for a person to say astaghfirullah. But of course, it must not just be a lip service. Yes. It must be sincere. It must, the sincerity must be there. It must come from the heart. And together with that, a person must feel, you know, remorse for their sins. They must yes. admit their sins. And they must have the strong conviction in them of not committing that sin again.
Inshallah.
Once, you know, that is there, there would be so much of barakah in a person's life. So if no one can say that, you know what, I don't have time to do to recite Quran, or I don't have time to do this, or I don't have time to do that. Everyone has the time to do so many good deeds. It's just that sometimes we may do, sometimes also it may happen, we're doing something every day which is considered a good deed for as long as we make an intention for it. But what happens is because we rush so much, we don't end up making any intention and just doing the act like that itself. For example, feeding a morsel of food into your wife's mouth. If you just feel like that, there's no reward. But when you make an intention, then there is reward in that. Like one person, when he passed away, he was asked, how has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated you? And he replied and he said that Allah ta'ala has forgiven me. He asked, how, for what deed did you do that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you? And he says that I put a morsel of food into my wife's mouth, and because of that, I have been forgiven. Now imagine, all of these, they are not deeds that, you know, are the size of mountains. No, these are small, small deeds. Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy for us. It's just for us to make that intention to do a good deed. So if we, you know, do all of these every day, every moment of our life, whilst we are driving, whilst we are coming to work, whilst we are going to school, or wherever we may be, if we make an intention, even if for some reason we could not do that act, but still a person will be rewarded for it. So alhamdulillah, these are some of the tips that we can derive, you know, to better our life and to enable us to do more and more good deeds. It's simple, you know. People may think, and some people we see that they are lazy in performing good deeds, lazy in doing good deeds, whereas it is right there on a golden platter. It's just for us to stretch our hands and take advantage of it. But we don't see that nowadays. And then we see that a person is engrossed with his family, a person is engrossed with his wealth, with the commodities of this dunya, and then eventually he gets lost in this world. And now when someone comes to tell him, brother, please come, we recite in Quran, please come. No, I can't, I got this to do, I got that to do, I can't make it, I don't want to come. Why? Because how did it get to that? Because a person prioritized his wealth more, a person prioritized his family more, and these two are a test for a man. These two are a trial for a person. So if that is not correct on the onset, then this is the result we expect. But on the other hand, if we have to reverse it, then we would see the person, when you go to him wholeheartedly, you would say, yes, labbaik, I'm here. Why? Because he is accustomed to that. He, from a young age, he gained this passion. He had this tarbiyah. He had this upbringing in him. And now as he is growing, he's okay. He doesn't feel bad if someone even has to correct him. Why? Because he is open to being corrected. He is open to someone telling him that this is your mistake. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to rectify it. And yes, he would rectify it. And because of that, a person can even better their good deed.
Inshallah, Subhanallah. There are so many different options, Sayyidi, as you mentioned.
It's a whole variety.
Yes, Alhamdulillah. And mashallah, there is a lovely book on the website of Dawat Islami. It's actually an Arabic book translated into Urdu.
Mashallah.
And this book is about all those actions that can enable us to enter Jannah, inshallah.
Subhanallah.
And the title, beautiful title, Jannat mein le jaane wale amal.
Subhanallah.
All the deeds that can enable us, inshallah, to get the entry and the membership of paradise.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And mashallah, as you go through the book, there is the virtues of seeking Islamic knowledge, the virtues of tahara, the virtues of salah, there is entire chapter about Jumu'ah salah, its reward, then janaza in the funeral, and then sadaqat, to give charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sawab of it, the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places on the charity, and then the reward of hajj, reward of the recitation of the Holy Quran that you have just mentioned, mashallah. And a reward of making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having a good akhlaq, good character, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Meaning the thing that will weigh the heaviest on the scale of justice will be the good character. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also gave the glad tiding that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who would be best in character. And the one furthest away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be that individual who had an evil character.
And we all want to be close to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day.
Subhanallah, that will mean the world to us. I mean, that will provide us with all the solutions that we could ever need. Subhanallah. So yes, these are the virtues, these are the actions that can enable us to enter paradise. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gave us these beautiful madani pearls to act upon them. It's not too much to ask, really.
Yeah.
I mean, these are some of the actions. If we do that with consistency, with sincerity, and we do it as we are ought to as Muslims, because we are the ummah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knows what's good for us, what's not good for us.
Yes.
He's our spiritual father, you can say.
Yeah.
And he knows, he taught us, and he has this worry about the ummah, that he cried his entire life at different occasions for the sake of the ummah. When he was born reciting and making dua for the ummah. When he lived his life, at many occasions, he would make dua for the ummah. And even when he was passing away, when he passed away and his janazah was being lowered into the grave, even then he was making the same dua for his ummah. Meaning, he arrived in this world making dua for the ummah. He lived in this world making dua for us. And he departed from this world making dua for us.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Who would love you to that extent?
Allah.
Subhanallah. Therefore, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, "Wo to nihayat sasta sauda bech rahe hai jannat ka." He is giving you the purchasing power and very affordable to gain the membership of paradise. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we should say Labbaik and Amanna wa Saddaqana, and we should also say Sami'na wa Ata'na to this beautiful deal that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to our table. And Alhamdulillah, we as Ummah need to do justice to it, inshallah Azza wa Jal.
Inshallah.
Allah Azza wa Jal states in the glorious Quran that He had purchased from the believers their lives and their belongings in return, in exchange for paradise. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned in the night of Miraj, which Jannati people he saw and what enabled them to enter Jannah. He asked Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that I heard your footfall in Jannah. What enabled him? Because he used to read the two rakats after he would make wudu and enter the masjid. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So this is what enabled him to be in Jannah and for his feet to be heard by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise.
Imagine just two rakats of salah after performing wudu.
Subhanallah, yes.
Subhanallah.
And these are some of the actions. Subhanallah, salah is the best action to gain the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the solution to many, many problems, both worldly and the problems we may face in the hereafter.
Yes.
It is a solution to all those problems. Zakat, for example, it is also a solution given to us.
Yeah.
It is a solution for our social, socio-economic state, that is of the Muslims, alhamdulillah. Yeah. At the same time, it is our salvation for the hereafter. Alhamdulillah. Let's say Hajj, subhanallah, it is an act of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person goes for Hajj saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik, La Sharika Laka Labbaik, subhanallah, chanting in one voice. And they, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has the unity of all His subhanallah devotees, all His servants, all His ibad, subhanallah. And they are all chanting in the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, labbaik in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the glory of Allah azza wa jal, making tawaf around the house of Allah. Khane Kaaba is regarded as the house of Allah, Baytullah subhanallah. And these are the landmarks of the divine majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth.
Allah.
And a person full of devotion goes and 7 rounds around the Holy Kaaba. Subhanallah, like how the moths, they fly around the candle. I mean, to us it doesn't make sense, but they do it because they are in love.
They are attracted.
Yes, subhanallah. So we are, this is a very deep act of devotion to make tawaf around the Holy Kaaba, subhanallah. And then after that, we get to make the ziyarat of the Rawdah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mashallah. So after that, we have a fast in the month of Ramadan. The food is present there, but we won't eat it. Why? Because we are devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The food is there. And we are, our reliance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually a person feels, you know, the food is ready, let's go and eat, otherwise, you know, we may not get it.
Right.
Here, a person learns to have tawakkul on Allah. That whole day, I'm not eating food, never mind, inshallah, iftar will be provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how we, at the same time, learn to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the dua that we read, Allahumma laka sumtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa ala rizqika aftartu, it is there, right there, that, oh Allah, I fasted for you, oh Allah, I believe in you, I have faith in you. Oh Allah, I relied on you, I have trust in you, I have placed my trust in you. Alayhi tawakkaltu wa ala rizqika aftartu. And I am now opening my fast on the rizq provided by you. Subhanallah. So these are various acts of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ibadat that will enable us to earn the membership of paradise. Subhanallah, zikrullah, subhanallah. It is such a great virtue to be making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You must
die in a state that your tongue is moist with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. In the summary of the narration, the Sahaba, they were asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that of all the actions, like for example, if everybody is reading salah, then who's the most virtuous one of them? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who makes the most zikr of Allah. He said, if they all give, read salah and give zakat and do all of those actions, then who? He says, the one who makes the most zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Truly amazes us that the one, all the goodness is reserved for that person who makes the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Subhanallah. The zikr of Allah azza wa jal. You know, zikr, when do you make mention of someone? When you think of them, when you remember them.
Right.
The more we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more zikr it is. Subhanallah. And our thoughts must be occupied by the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The jannatis will only have one regret. Of spending those moments in their lives that were devoid of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar.
Even the Jannati will have a regret, and that regret will be they should have utilized their time to make more zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And also, you know, there's so many ways in which one can make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so many ways out there, and one form of it is, of course, we have salah, and one other form is reciting the Holy Quran as well, because when a person recites the Holy Quran, this is also a form of dhikr.
Yes.
And also, you know, it's sometimes a person may be walking in the garden or driving, if it may be, and even if their lips are not moving, they can still make dhikr in their hearts, you know. And the Quran teaches us that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a means and a source of tranquility and peace to the hearts of the believers.
Subhanallah.
So everyone is searching for peace. Everyone is searching for this tranquility. And in this world, in this dunya of chaos and trials and tribulations, where do we find peace? Peace is not in money. Peace is not in a big house. Peace is not in a luxury car. Peace is not in a big bank balance, no. Because sometimes we see that people who have these, they are in a whole different level of stress altogether.
Yes.
You know, so peace, everyone is looking for it, but where is it? Where does one find peace? Peace is in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a person is occupied with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically they would feel sukoon in their hearts. They would feel peace, calm, and coolness in their hearts. So yes, dhikr is, you know, as you've mentioned, Masab, a great form of worship, a great form of ibadah, and it's such a deed that it can take one towards Jannah. It can gain one the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that a person should also implement this in their day-to-day life. Because no one should really say that, no, only on Thursdays I go to the Ijtima and I make dhikr day. No, dhikr, it doesn't mean that it must only be done on a Thursday night. No, dhikr is something that must be done through every moment of our lives. Even if we don't physically say Allah, Allah, Allah with our tongue, but if our thoughts are pondering on the hereafter, then this is our dhikr. If
definitely
our thoughts are pondering on the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, you know, this universe, the stars, the sun, the moon, we are pondering over the power and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also dhikr.
Definitely, definitely. Subhanallah. So this is the dhikr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the glorious Quran. And these are the powers of dhikr that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about. Let's unlock this secret of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah azza wa jal, we are now going to listen to the dhikr Mustafa after making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, there's a beautiful kalam for you. Inshallah azza wa jal, stay tuned for the rest of the episode. Inshallah azza wa jal, we're going to come back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad
sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam.
Bula lo apne dar par ab to gham khana badoshon ko phire kab ठिकाने से शबे फुरकत ढले बर आए अरमां या रसूल अल्लाह करो तुम मस्ता का Rasulullah, tanam fars. سودا جا پارا زہجرا یا رسول اللہ تمہاری یاد کا غلبہ ہمیشہ دل پہ ہو تاری لگا دو عشق کی اپنے خدا را ایسی چنگاری اسی خواہش میں کٹ جائے میری عمر رواں ساری کی زنا داری فدا نقش نالینت کنم جا یا رسول اللہ فدا نقش نالینت فدا نقش نالینت کنم جا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودا جا پارا زہجرا یا رسول اللہ دلم پژمردا آوارا زیسیا یا رسول اللہ تمہاری نعت سے ہی ہے کرم کا سلسلہ پہم ہے خواہش وقت آخر جب نکلنے والا ہو یہ دم زبان پر جاری ہو نغمہ تیرا دل یہ کہے اس دم زیجا میں ہو بے تو مستم بزنجی رے تو دل بستم نمی گویم کے من ہستم سخندا یا رسول اللہ نمی گویم کے من ہستم سخندا یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودا جا پارا زہجرا یا رسول اللہ دلم پژمردا آوارا زیسیا یا رسول اللہ سیاہی دفتر اعمال کی ہوتی نہیں ہے کم عذاب قبر و محشر کا مجھے اب کھا رہا ہے غم شرم ساری گناہوں پر ہے اور آنکھیں ہیں میری نم ذکر دعا خیش ہے رانم سیاہ شد روز سیانم پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ تنم کردا جا پارا سے ہجرا یا رسول اللہ دلم پش مردہ آوارا زی سیا یا رسول اللہ سر محشر محامد پیش ہو جو در سیاہ کارا کہے بے ساختہ جو دیکھے رحمت بر گناہ گارا میری امید ہو تم اے شفا درد بیمارا چوبا شفاعت را کشائی بر گناہ گارا مکن محروم جا میرا درا یا رسول اللہ مکن محروم جا میرا درا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زہجرا یا رسول اللہ دلم پش مردہ آوارا زیسیا یا رسول اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹو ویورز, وی ور لسننگ ٹو دی ذکر مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, اینڈ ناؤ وی آر بیک, اینڈ ٹوڈیز سبجیکٹ از دا فرینڈ ٹو دا اینڈ, سبحان اللہ, اینڈ دیٹ از آور گڈ ڈیڈز. ڈیتھ از ناٹ سرٹن, میننگ اٹ از ناٹ سرٹن وین اٹ ول کم, ہاؤ اٹ ول کم, in what state it will come. It is uncertain in those terms,
right?
But it's certain in the sense that it will come,
right,
when you least expect it. So we need to be prepared for it, you know, as the shair says, agah apni maut se koi bashar nahi, saman sau baras ka hai, pal ki khabar nahi. So yes, we may have the plans of years and decades ahead. We don't know whether we're going to live the next moment.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Azza wa Jal declares in the glorious Quran, وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِأَنفُسِهِمْ يَمْهَدُونَ, and those who do righteous deeds, so they are preparing for themselves. The Islamic scholars comment on this verse by saying that there will be no worldly bed of any sort in the grave. Yes. There is no bed. Shair says, اس تنے بے جان پر خاکی کفن رہ جائے گا. Our pillows and beds, they will be our deeds, whether good or bad. We make our bed, as the saying goes. You know, when something bad happens,
right,
and we want to advise the person, perhaps we advise that person before. We never listen to you, then what do we say? Well, you made your bed. This is now time that we take our advice. We making our bed. The same bed we'll get to sleep on in the qabr, inshallah, azza wa jal. If it's good, it's our doing. If it's bad, again, it's our doing.
And our good deeds, you know, they, inshallah, they can be our bed, yes, and pillow in our qabr.
Yes.
You know, the our recitation of the Holy Quran, sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving sadaqah, making the hearts of other fellow Muslims happy, all of these good deeds will come to aid us when we are in such a place, there's no one there, it's complete darkness, and we are 6 foot down in the ground. These deeds of ours, they would come and they would aid us. In one narration, it's mentioned that summary of this narration is that when a person makes the heart of another fellow Muslim happy, then from that happiness, Allah Ta'ala creates an angel. This angel glorifies Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, worships Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and when this person passes away and dies, and when he is gone and lowered into his qabr, this angel comes into his grave and asks him that, do you know who I am? The person will say that, no, I do not know who you are. Please inform me and tell me, who are you? Then this angel will say that, I am that same happiness which you put into the heart of another fellow Muslim. And today I am here to help you answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir. Today I am going to intercede for you, save you from the horrors of this grave, and I am going to show you your place in Jannah. So we see that just by making the heart of another fellow Muslim happy, this is the reward, that same good deed will come into your grave and help you. So we need to take advantage of all of the good deeds that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, because this is, you know, our ticket towards Jannatul Firdaus, inshaAllah.
InshaAllah, Azza wa Jalla. And our good deeds, Sayyidi, they are really, will be helpful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us devoted to our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil, Ameen. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.